everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Gems. And as always, I'm your host, the Admirable Admiral. And as always, we are in a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, video stores still exist. And you're probably wondering, wait, but it's just you. Yes, it is just me, and it is chilly in this area. It's very chilly in this area. But, of course, the Honorable Tesla and the Fantastimus Frieda are both bundled up in their blankets, ready to talk about and also have their puppuccinos and talk about the very wondrous movie Lady Hawk with the illustrious Butt Meister. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, Admiral. And hi, everyone. Welcome back to Cinema Gems. We are another show on the internet where a bunch of opinionated nerds talk about the things we love. Movies, TV, a little bit of everything. Mostly movies. You might notice I sound just a little bit under the weather and a little bit gravelly today. But I am, as I hope you are as well, bundling up, taking care of yourselves. Drinking some tea with honey and lemon when you need it. I have to thank the Admiral, and I believe you said it's Hawaiian Detective that recommended this movie, correct?
Well, so me and the Hawaiian Detective, HD for short, were talking about this movie, and then I realized, hey, it's an anniversary this year. Wow. And I'm not trying to say that I twisted the Butt Maestro's arm, but gave the Butt Maestro a choice, and he couldn't come up with anything, so I threw him this one and another one that we're going to do at the end of, before the end of the year. Definitely before the end of the year, correct? We're not going to mention it on air.
Something like that.
But we're going to...
He says...
Yeah, we're going to do it.
You say twist my arm, but we both know, and all the listeners know, you don't have to twist my arm very hard to get me to watch a new movie, new to me, especially if that movie has fantasy influence. And this movie for sure does.
But just to state, this is, according to HG / Hawaiian Detective, this is one of his favorite movies. So, you know what? Good to him.
And you know what? I can see why.
Is it the music?
No, not necessarily. Although, I do... excellent segue. I do real quick want to talk about Andrew Powell. Andrew Powell did the music for this movie, and as far as I can tell, this is the only movie in which Andrew Powell actually fully composed. Most of his career, and I can find this kind of relatable, actually, was as an arranger, not just as a composer. So people would bring him simple melodies, mm-hmm. and he would flesh them out. He did that for... Fleetwood Mac... the Alan Parsons Project, where he was officially a member.
Yep.
He did a whole lot of work with the BBC Symphony Orchestra, BBC Welsh Orchestra, London Phil, London Symphony. Later on with the Berlin Phil, Hong Kong Phil, LA Phil. He's conducted and arranged all over the place. But this is the only movie, as far as I know, this and Rocket Gibraltar.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
What?
That. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It lists. I'm looking at his Wikipedia and IMDb, and those are the only two movies that they list as him being a full composer on. And so for someone with very limited actual, like, from scratch composition work for a movie, it's different. And it takes a little bit of time to adjust to. It's not what I expected for the score for this movie. But it does kind of work. It sets up a kind of quirky vibe of, hey, expect anything.
Also.
And I'm glad it did.
He has an excellent birthday. Just pointing that out.
Okay, well, hang on. Now I have to go back and open up.
Just pointing that out. He is.
I can see that.
He is 40 years older than me. Just pointing that out to the day. But no, he's retired. And I think he's in Wales right now. He's been in Wales since 2003. And he's kind of been, you know, not a recluse, but, you know, just been doing his own thing.
Yeah. Honestly, living the life.
No.
High key living the dream.
I'm glad that you mentioned the Alan Parsons Project, because it's one of those where you're like, what? He was a part of that? What? But yeah, no. All right.
No.
So Lady Hawk.
A Richard Donner film, by the way. Let's get that out of the way just to set the tone for this movie. This is a Richard Donner film, meaning it was done by the same guy who made the old Chris Reeve Superman movies, as well as the Goonies and the Lethal Weapon movies.
Also Scrooged. And he also did a bunch of episodes of Tesla's favorite TV show, The Rifleman. And also he did some Gilligan's Islands, The Wild Wild West, the original show, Kojak, Twilight Zone, Get Smart, A Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Banana Splits, Danger Island, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight, Bordello of Blood, Ritual. The list goes on. Richard Donner is an and also The Omen. Like, let's just specify The Omen. The original.
But Richard Donner unfortunately passed away in 2021.
May peace be upon him for everything that he's done for film, for cinema. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the modern day superhero movie. It's because of him.
I can absolutely see an argument to be made for him setting the tone and taking the first step in superhero movies.
I haven't talked to this about Maestro, but I'm just gonna go and talk about it right now.
Go for it.
That he did the first two Superman movies. Technically, his cut was released like 20 years ago, because he filmed so much stuff for the first one. So a lot of people really like the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2. So I actually am hoping that we are able to review the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, because that's an anniversary this year. I'm looking forward to that, because that's one of those movies where you're just like, wow, Terrence Stamp is in this? Gene Hackman's in it? What is going on with this movie? Look, Richard Donner, you have done, literally, I listed a multitude of things that you've done for cinema. And thank you very much for working with your passion and caring about the art. It really means a lot to show the artwork that, hey, Goonies, Superman, and Lady Hawk, same person. Oh, and also Lethal Weapon, same people, same person.
100%. All of that being said, take what you know from all of those other projects and focus them into a medieval fantasy based in medieval Italy, where most of the countries that answer to the Church of Rome are themselves religious oligarchies. Think about Paris in Hunchback of Notre Dame, where there is kind of supposedly a French government ruling in ways we don't see. But as far as we know, the main ruler of all this, the main shot caller, seems to be the Archbishop Frollo. Same situation here. There might be an invisible government that we don't see other than the church, but as far as the audience needs to know, the ruling class is the church.
Yeah.
And this evil bishop.
You want to know some other cool Richard Donner facts about this movie? He wanted Mick Jagger to be the bishop.
Weird, but I would have rolled with it. That being said, what's his name? John Wood. Was menacing in this, and in the trailer and the posters, I thought that was Jeremy Irons. I was very relieved to find out that it was not Jeremy Irons.
I can see that. And you know, John Wood and Matthew Broderick were in another movie that reviewed like many years ago called War Games. Remember that movie?
Yep. It's the first thing on his. Yeah, he's Falcon. Wow.
All right, so.
Yeah, he's good. He's really menacing. This whole movie really hinges on a couple, a romantic couple, who is forever cursed. And I'm not going to give away what the curse is yet, but that is, in my opinion, the most interesting part of this movie. But our POV character of this movie is, for better or for worse, Matthew Broderick's character, Philippe the Mouse. The movie starts with all these guards in a prison going, where's this kid? The kid escaped. They find him, and the kid gets rescued by a knight who we find out is actually the former captain of the bishop's guard. Navarre.
Are you talking about Rutger Howard from Blade Runner?
Okay, so this is some of the most insane casting I've ever seen. Just like before we even get to the other half of this cursed couple, Rutger Hauer as this hero? Question mark. Like he really puts a gray spin on this. Like I feel like if anyone else would have played this dude, it would have come across as Aragorn. But this guy is 90% just hurt and angry.
Yeah. Apparently, Richard Donner wanted Kurt Russell as Navarre.
Nah, I think Kurt Russell would have given too much of a relaxed vibe to it, too much of a corny vibe to it. I'm not saying
you're wrong, but I think that Kurt Russell is underrated, and Richard Donner probably would have talked to him and, you know, been like, hey, look, this is what we're going for. We're going for this. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that in an alternate universe, I would love to see Kurt Russell's version of Navarre.
Okay.
But I love Rutger Hauer in this. This is amazing. Like, he does a phenomenal job.
I think Rutger Hauer and Michelle Pfeiffer are irreplaceable as their parts in this movie. I wish there was more of Michelle Pfeiffer's role, and I'll get to her in just a sec. But the person I think is kind of replaceable in this movie, sorry not sorry, is Matthew Broderick.
Oh, 100%. Look, a lot of people know how I feel about Matthew Broderick and how I feel about Matthew Broderick.
He's never acting. 87. He's literally never acting.
Yeah, after 87, he is a horrible person.
Yep.
And if you want to know why he's a horrible person, we're a family show, so we can't really talk about that, but there was a
there are articles you can look up.
There was a vehicle accident, an accident being the big word, air quote words. Yeah, and somebody walked away scot-free. So you know what, guys, you guys can look it up if you want, but I have very certain feelings about Matthew Broderick, and I still say to this day his best role is War Games.
Agreed.
Literally his best
role. Agreed. I'm not going to talk about him on a personal level. I'm just going to talk about him in terms of how he comes across as an actor in certain roles. And in this role, he's very mid. I think it's very serviceable as the POV character in a movie where the POV character is far and away not the most interesting character in the movie. If that's what they were going for, they nailed it. Have a very mid, kind of normal, kind of scared POV character who gets to meet these other larger-than-life people, and their quest becomes his quest. It actually works really well, and probably would work really well as Dungeons & Dragons NPCs.
Yeah, I could see that.
So Navarre, and we don't quite know why yet, his personal quest is to go and kill this bishop. And after a few weird nights, we start to see, you know, his hawk is only really around during the day. And at night, he can't find Navarre, but he can hear a wolf howling. That's weird, right? They get attacked by the bishop's men, who is actively hunting them down.
Oh, you mean Doc Ock?
Yep. Oh, that was him, wasn't it? Wait a minute. That was Alfred Molina?
That was?
Yes. That's a baby Alfred Molina? Yes. That's so freaking cute. It is. It is Caesar. Oh, dang. All right, no wonder he was, like, out of left field. Who is this super intimidating person?
So the Bishop of Alaquay, is that?
Aquila.
Aquila. Is that how you say it? Aquila. The Bishop of Alaquila.
Aquila.
Has put a curse...
There you go.
Aquila has put a curse upon the member known as Lady Hawk and Navarre. And they're literally in love. And it's one of the... By the way, this is our obligatory Valentine's Day episode. I know it's a week early. But hey, you know, we got other things in the pipeline coming up. Next week is a superhero movie, but not a superhero movie.
Something like that.
Would you agree about my show?
Yeah.
So we decided to push this one a week forward. So this is our obligatory Valentine's Day. So Happy Valentine's Day, but you shouldn't just show your love on one day. You should show your love for 365 or 366
there
days out of the
is.
Year.
No, I 1,000% agree with
this
that.
This is a true... Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you about my show. This is a truly amazing love story that I actually care
It's a very
about.
Tragic love story. Like, that I was honestly convinced yes. through most of the movie would not have a happy ending.
I can see that. I can see that. All right. So Navarre is a wolf at night, and
so
I'm going to call her Lady Hawk because I cannot
sec.
Say her name. Michelle Pfeiffer's character.
Isabeau of Anjou, and Etienne of Navarre.
Isabeau.
But they're just Isabeau and Navarre, or Hawk and Wolf. Because right. they, so Harkin, Navarre Harkin. Was the captain of the Bishop's Guard, and Isabeau was the daughter of a very wealthy person who was kind of arranged marriage to the bishop. She did not love him and fell in love with Navarre, and so he pulled from the powers of hell, the place, not the curse word, and cursed them to be forever together but also far apart. So, Isabeau is a hawk during the day and human at night. Navarre is a human by day, wolf by night. And even in their animal forms, they don't have their conscious humanity about them. Yeah.
They forget everything.
Yeah. This is really tragic and really creative. And I'm not going to lie. I am most likely going to lift this for a pair of NPCs and a side quest for when I'm running a game again. So I know a few of my players listen to this show. Y'all have been warned.
All I say that I come on as a guest NPC character, and I'm just playing like a sorcerer type character that helps these.
Do you want to be the bishop?
No, I want to be Willow again. I want to be Willow again.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
No, I don't want to be the bishop.
As long as Willow has since learned what friendly fire is.
Willow has learned what friendly fire is, okay? It was one time, and you're never going to let me live it down.
No, I'm not.
Hey.
It's funny.
Hey, it's okay.
Love you, bud.
We're leaving
love
this you, in, because not everybody knows about it, but some people know about it.
No one's going to get it. It's okay. This show is for us anyway, Admiral.
I mean, NHD. Let's be honest. NHD. Hawaiian Detective, thank you for listening. And also, come on, Dead Tom. Good night, Dead Tom.
Good night, Dead Tom. One of my players. So if they're listening, they'll know.
So, through a strange set of circumstances. There's one turns into the other at sunset and sunrise, and they get to see each other.
They're doomed to be separate.
They get to see each other at one point, and it's a beautiful scene. It's a
mm-hmm.
gorgeous scene.
Yep.
Because they no words, and it's just the music, and they look into each other's eyes, and it's beautiful.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
And then
it's over. And just like that, the moment's over. And the next thing we get is Navarre just like verbally tearing into Matthew Broderick. I mean, yay. Fully support any moment of that.
Correct.
Basically being like, what are you doing? This is stupid. Stop trying to force this to happen. And then he sees all the scratches on Philippe's chest and is like, what is that? Oh, that's all the times you scratched me when you were in wolf form. I was trying to rescue you from the ice, you jerk. Oh, okay. I guess you are helpful.
Which, by the way, kind of a anxiety inducing warning. That was really hard to watch with two dogs in the room.
Yep.
Like, yep. Frida was kind of scared. Tesla was kind of bundled up with Patron, but the Phantasmus Frida was kind of like, hey, Dad, can you hold me? So that was kind of, you know, anxiety-inducing about that scene. So, you know, disclaimer, if you don't really like any hurting of animals, which, by the way, no animals were hurt in this movie, making of this movie, as far as I know. None were hurt. But no, mm-hmm. it's... It, and so... as we said, night, day, one is the other. But in 2 days' time, they keep saying 2 days' time, night will proceed by day, which will not be preceded by night. And when we get to it, guys, it's an eclipse.
Yeah, it's a solar eclipse.
Yeah, it's eclipse. But they have to be in front of the bishop, in front of everybody, in human form, to show their love for the curse to be broken, which is a really weird way to break a curse, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Really strange. No words have to be shouted or chanted or anything, but that's cool. The guard who turned Navarre in is now basically Navarre and Isabeau's healer, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, something like that.
Navarre's like...
Except he was never a guard. He was a monk.
Oh, I'm sorry. A monk, yes. But he turned them in. He's like, look, I did this, you know, blah, blah. So he's basically doing penance for Navarre so Navarre doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
Which Navarre has every right to do. So when they go to the bishop, because they don't, like, you know, these people, it's medieval time, so they don't know what an eclipse is. We, as people of this time, know what an eclipse is. So hopefully. So when the eclipse is happening, Navarre says, look, I want you to kill the hawk. Like, if you hear the bells, I have been taken out. Kill her.
Yeah, if you hear the bells indicating that the bishop is still alive, I failed. Kill the bird.
Exactly.
Put her out of her misery. End this curse.
So when the bell...
He is thinking not with his brain.
Correct. Correct. He's thinking with his heart.
I don't know about that.
His pants heart?
Yeah, maybe that one.
His pants heart. Okay.
Which is very, very much broken from his wife being a bird this whole time.
Correct. And also him literally being a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the bell...
That probably doesn't feel too great either. Yeah.
So when the bells go off, we literally see Navarre's, like, is just... He can't deal with anything because for his understanding, it's over. But clouds go by where the ex-bishop is, or the ex-monk is, and we see the eclipse.
Right.
And we don't see anything else. And then just about when Navarre's about to stab... By the way, those helmets were really weird looking. Was it just me?
I was going to say it's pretty unique design for this movie. I don't know if I've necessarily seen that kind of design in other movies. It's kind of bold. I like it. It makes more sense if you know what the word Aquila means.
Well, go ahead. What's Aquila mean? Go ahead. Tell me and the listeners.
It's feathers. Well, it's a wreath of either feathers or leaves.
Oh.
It's very prominent in Roman symbology.
Oh, okay.
Which is why it's even more prominent in Warhammer 40K symbology.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah. An Aquila typically is either in like a spread eagle or a crown or wreath of feathers or leaves. It's usually what an Aquila is.
Oh, thank you for letting me know about my show. That's something I learned today.
So yeah, their helmet visor is literally an Aquila.
That makes a lot of sense. I just thought it was a really weird design. Me and Patron were like, can you really see out of that much?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Because the only thing they had to protect their faces was steel, you do have to sacrifice visibility for protection. That was the way a lot of medieval helmets were.
Yeah.
Like, actually, in terms of visibility, these are better.
Okay. I guess, you know, also, I'd never worn one of it. I've never worn, like, a medieval, like, actual helmet before, so how do I know the visibility range?
I mean, neither have I, but it's like, look at some old designs of medieval helmets and not... There aren't a lot of them that have great visibility. They hadn't exactly invented tempered glass yet.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess they kind of reinvented the wheel a little bit because of it being an Aquila.
Something like that. Something like that.
Yeah.
But it is unique design. Speaking of fun design, I love Navarre's sword, and that they, again, something that is very D&D coded about this movie is that the main character has a sword that has been passed down in his family from generation to generation. Like, his identity is partly in this sword, and there's even a spot where there's a stone missing, and he's like, yeah, no, that's my spot, and I just haven't filled it in yet. I haven't completed the quest associated with that. I haven't earned that rock yet. I don't know. I like it a lot. I think it's really cool. He's clearly a D&D character.
I didn't like this movie this much, but the second half to me was far superior than the first half. The first half, you're in the dark.
It took some build up, for sure. I did need to have some questions answered, because for a while I thought this feels like a D&D campaign where the GM, the person writing and running the game, has specified, okay, medieval realistic, no magical stuff, but you can put whatever kind of character you want in there. Okay, hey, wait a minute. No, that does actually require some, like, talking about what's limited and what's available. But, like, you said nothing? Like, nothing magical. Yeah. But I'm going to introduce these two NPCs who are cursed to be a wolf and a hawk separately.
Yeah.
But no, you can't play any magic characters. Wait, what?
Yeah, legit. All right. So let's wrap this ending up really quick. So basically, Navarre's about to stab the bishop, and Isabeau's like, Navarre! And stops. They see each other for the first time since 2 days ago, but they get to see each other in human form without
any... Actually in the flesh.
Correct. And then...
They pull a Shane from Smosh Try Not to Laugh, telling the bishop, no, look at me. No, legally you have to look at me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he gets stabbed. And then the movie ends as quickly as it began.
Yeah.
Well,
I liked it a lot. I like this little fantasy movie. Thank you, Hawaiian Detective, for bringing it to our attention, because I might watch it again at a certain point. I might make GLaDOS watch it.
All right, so you want me to go through the rundown of the distribution and everything?
Do your thing.
All right, so it is distributed in North America by Warner Brothers. David Zaslav sucks. and 20th Century Fox internationally. The release date was April 12th, 1985, so we're a couple of weeks before the actual anniversary. Happy anniversary, Lady Hawk. You're 40 years old this year. Happy anniversary. Nice. 121 minutes. The budget was $20 million, but the box office is only $18.4 million, so kind of a box office dud. So this gives it, like, that kind of... It's kind of like an underground fantasy movie that you tell your friends about. Thanks, Hawaiian Detective. Thanks.
I mean, that's literally what we do on Cinema Gems.
And I would say check it out, but also fair warning that there is some, I don't want to say animal brutality, but kind of.
Very mildly.
I don't know what word I'm trying to search for, but just fair warning that the dog doesn't die, but he does get hurt.
Now, I have not had the chance to actually look into the production of this movie and how all of the trained animals were treated on the set of this movie, but I hope that if it was particularly bad, I'd be able to find articles about it pretty easily. The majority of the production talk, at least on the Wikipedia page, is how the writer apparently was blocked from... submitting this to the Writers Guild on the basis of it's based on a European legend. Okay, yeah, kind of, sort of, not really. It's very loosely based on a European legend.
Loosely based, yeah. Dustin Hoffman and Sean Penn were offered the role of Philippe, but turned it down. Richard Donner wanted Dustin Hoffman for Philippe, and he said he would love to have had Sir Sean Connery as Navarre.
would have been ridiculous. That would have not been the same movie.
I feel like Sean Connery would have been better as the monk.
Agreed. Hard agree. Absolutely.
By the way, four Siberian wolves. Siberian wolves were okay. imported to California to portray Navarre in his wolf state.
Dang. Cool. Well, here on Cinema Gems, we have a rating system. May I, Admiral?
Of course. Go ahead, sir. Thank you.
Whole gem, amazing movie, loved it. Half gem, it was just all right. No gem, don't waste your time. Admiral, what did you think of Lady Hawk?
Lady Hawk from 1985 is a busted up, forgotten full gem. It's one of those movies where you go back and you're like, you know when you're like moving or something and you find and you go into a box that you haven't been into in decades
and you find an old Blockbuster gift card and you're like, oh, I don't know if I could redeem this. No.
Short answer, you can't. Yeah, no, Lady Hawk is a movie that you're just like, wow, this movie was ahead of its time.
It was certainly trying to be.
I feel like if this movie came out 5 years later, maybe even 3 years later, it would have been a smash success.
Right.
But it came out in 85. When we know what else came out in 85, everything came out in 85. But no, but my show, that's what I feel. I feel it's a forgotten full gem.
Agreed. I'm right there with you. Agreed. This is a forgotten full gem. I had a lot of fun with this. And I will probably be watching it again pretty soon.
Yay! And it's also, free on guys, Amazon Prime. Marty, go ahead, Butt Maestro.
I was just going to say, it's free on Amazon Prime if you want to watch it. And if you don't want to do Amazon Prime, support your local library.
Yeah. And I also have a old Warner Brothers DVD cardboard cover case with it. You know the old like cardboard-ish ones?
Yeah.
That you had the plastic cover? Yeah, that's just what you heard.
Cool.
But yeah, guys, we just want to thank Marty and the Eric Nazerber for allowing us to be on their website, lowrainpictures.com. Please go in the Your 30 tab, guys. They are far superior than we are. Trust me. They are. And also, Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. And email us if you have any requests or anything by the email is...
CinemaGems15@gmail.com. Thank you, as always, to our amazing Swapper Jacks friends and family and our amazing Cinemaniacs. We love y'all so much. Thank you for the constant support. And you can tell us what we're missing out on by emailing us at CinemaGems15@gmail.com. Please and thank you.
Or if you know us in person, or if you have...
Just, like, talk to us. Yeah.
Just be like, hey, I'm submitting a verbal email. And we'll be like, okay. But yeah, no, I'm glad Hawaiian Detective, a.k.a. HD, told me that this is one of his favorite movies because it made me realize that there was an anniversary this year, and I'm glad we picked it. But Maestro, you don't have anything else to say before we go, do you?
Just take care of yourselves. Drink water. Stay warm. And stay whelmed. Not overwhelmed. We're trying to avoid being overwhelmed. Just stay whelmed.
Stay sane. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to maintain that normal-ish baseline while being surrounded by abnormality and strange weirdness, things that should not be happening. Just roll with it.
Yep. And guys,
we got this.
Guys, as we said before, there is an interesting episode coming out next week. I'm excited for it. I know the Butt Maestro is also excited for it.
I'll be more excited when you remind me what the heck it is, because I don't remember right now.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
But yeah, guys, just remember to take time for yourself. Make time for yourself so you can help to be there for others. I know I messed that up.
Yeah, horribly. Close enough.
But also, close, guys, enough. Remember to wipe your hooves and see you later. But remember, Black Lives always matter, guys.
Always.
Bye, love guys. Y'all. See you later.